The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day, this second Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, where we behold the Lamb of God. In our prayers today, again, Janet Jameson, Ann Powers, who is now at Golden Empire, fell, broke her hip. She's recovering there, and Bob Short as well. I will be out of town this afternoon through Tuesday evening, a Higher Things board meeting, so we will not have wine and the Word this Tuesday night. Check your boxes. If you haven't checked your boxes, make sure you check your boxes because your boxes need to be checked. Today is Pledge Sunday. I know we've had a very sort of short window for this. There is still time for you to drop a pledge card into the box. We'll be receiving those today, but as always, there's plenty out there. They're also in your box. If you checked your box, you'll see that there's one in your box. So, as well, next Sunday, one item congregational meeting next Sunday, which is budget approval, final budget approval. Our youth will be having a baked potato lunch for everyone to help offset costs for Higher Things. So come hungry next Sunday, and we'll have that during Bible class hour meeting and all that kind of stuff. We'll all be over there next week. The service is before you. We'll follow that. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. The prophet lifts his bony finger, still sticky with wild honey, to point to the hope of your salvation. Behold, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in just one sentence, St. John the Baptist explains the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament. And since we aren't Old Testament Jews at the temple in Jerusalem, let's put that world into context. The temple is the place of mediation. It is the place where God promises to meet his people, the place where the mercy seat, where his throne rests, upon the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Before it was rescued from the Nazis by Indiana Jones, it was the throne of Almighty God upon the earth. God the Father told Moses how to build his throne. Two cherubim of hammered gold facing the center of the lid, resting upon the gold-covered acacia wood box of the ark. This is the spot where the Lord God Almighty would sit in glory before his people. And so you come, you make pilgrimage to this holy ground, to this place of God's presence. For as St. Augustine says, our souls are restless until they find their rest in you, O Lord. You come because God's holy law drives you to seek help outside yourselves. You come because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You come because mercy is offered at the flaming and smoking bronze altar at the temple. But sin keeps you from entering the place of the mercy seat, the most holy place, the throne room of God himself. There's a curtain that separates you from God's throne of mercy, a tapestry that is held in place for centuries because of your sin, held in place by your sin. For your sin prohibits you from being able to even look at God. Your sin is your undoing before Almighty God. And sometimes you don't even recognize your sin. And sometimes your sin doesn't even bother you. And maybe you've grown so accustomed to its presence that it's become, in a sense, excusable. Or maybe you've forgotten that every sin, that all of them, those against authorities, those against your neighbors, even those in the deepest, darkest corners of your own heart, are all sins against Almighty God. And you come to the temple, but your sin keeps you from approaching the mercy seat. Almighty God sets his priest before that curtain to keep you from your own destruction. Even as he exiled Adam from the garden that he might not reach for the tree of life and live forever in sin, so also Almighty God has barred your way into the most holy place. The priest will kill the sacrificial lamb in your stead. God our Father will, as he did in the place of Isaac, provide the lamb. And that mercy is only offered through blood sacrifice. It's an idea that seems almost barbaric. The notion that an animal has to have its throat slit and be bled to death for a person to be right before God is offensive. And it should be. Others must die so that you may live. The history of Israel and the temple is soaked in sacrificial blood. The priests are splattered with blood. The pavements of the temple courts are stained from centuries of shed blood being trampled into the stone. And the only reason it doesn't continue today, the only reason the church today offers no bloody or even unbloody sacrifice is because the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has shed his blood once for all. And so you see in the shed blood of the Lamb a promise of the far greater things to come. You don't find your salvation in the shedding of the blood of goats and of lambs and of doves. Because when you start to think that you can sacrifice enough for God, that you can tell him when to look upon you favorably, he says through Isaiah, I've had enough of burnt offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. So no, Your salvation isn't in a bucket of blood shed by bulls or lambs or goats. Instead, in the shedding of that blood is the constant reminder of the promise, God will provide the lamb. And finally, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. And the prophet lifts his finger and he points to the hope of your salvation, to the Lamb of God. And he cries out over the sound of the rushing waters of the Jordan River, behold, look, let your eyes rest on this one. Let your heart find peace in him. This Lamb, this one is the one who will take away the sin of the world. And the writer to the Hebrews later confirms that Christ appeared as a high priest through the greater and more perfect tent not made with hands. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. And so our Lord Christ comes as both priest and sacrifice. Not just any sacrifice, but the sacrifice, the one sacrifice that dies for all of the sin of all of the world. He is the final sacrifice. He is the lamb that God has provided. The lamb that every other lamb pointed to. All of the splattered and stained and shed blood of all of the centuries find their fulfillment in the holy blood of Jesus, running down his cross, soaking the ground of Golgotha. And so all sacrifices come to an end when Jesus cries, "It is finished." And that temple curtain, held in place by your sin, is rent asunder from top to bottom to show the world that God is no longer there. His wrath has been satisfied. There's nothing left for the sacrifices to point to, because John the Baptist's prophetic finger has already done the pointing. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So now that all of the sacrificing has been done and no more blood is shed, the Lamb who was slain and has begun his reign intercedes for you before God the Father as your great high priest. He comes to you, even as he came to those who sought him out on the verge of Jordan. They wanted to know what he would do. And they asked, and he said, "Come. And you will see." Today, you hear the prophet tell you where to look, that you may see. Behold, look, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who has taken away your sin, is here. He is here upon his mercy seat, upon the ark of the throne, to give you again his gifts of forgiveness and life and everlasting salvation. Behold the Lamb of God, the true flesh and blood of the Christ given for you under bread and wine. Look, the Lamb of God joins with you today. The fulfillment of all of our Lord's God promises are here for you. So rest in him, be at peace in him, give thanks for him. And as you have, in thanksgiving for the life and the salvation that he has given you, as you've come to your decisions about your support for the work of the same Lord Christ in this place with your pledges, let us work together that others may come and see and may come to know Jesus so that they too may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, they too may have life in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.